So this is the point in the sermon where everybody sees the title and then begins to look at each other and go, oh no, I didn't get the memo. And this is the point where I assure you, as the preacher, that this sermon is not about me looking at you and making a judgment. It has nothing to do with that at all. It is about each of us individually having a proper understanding of what God says on the topic and then looking at ourselves. Because that's Bible teaching. Never in the history of the Bible do you see people coming to Christ because other people made them. Every biblical principle you ever see is somebody looking in the mirror and saying, am I matching what my Bible says? Somebody being cut to their own heart on the topic. And modesty is no different. It is an issue that is not about me telling you what to wear. You're not my children. It is about you telling yourself what to wear. And all I'm going to do is just one simple thing, which is to give you, to the best of my ability, a better understanding of what God says on the topic so that you can then chew on it and make whatever changes, or you may find there's no need for change in your life that is necessary in this area. So I want you to have confidence that I'm not up here making a judgment and looking at each person going, okay, that guy needs it and that one doesn't. No, that's not the point. And that's what often happens with a sermon like this, is that we all get very self-conscious. But I don't want you to do that because of me. If you become self-conscious, let it be because of you. Because you've listened to lesson and you've looked at the words and you're purposely examining yourself. You're not dumb people. You're God's people. And God, in His unbelievable wisdom, designed the church to be based off of each person working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And this issue is no different. When we begin to talk about modesty, I want you to realize that I am convinced that we've kind of had this one wrong. We've gone about this the wrong way, and we've oversimplified a complicated topic. There is a time where you can overcomplicate things, and that certainly happens all the time. We find there's many issues that are that way. In the religious world, baptism has been overcomplicated. Baptism is, you go out and look at the religious world and they say, well, you should do it, but it doesn't technically relate to salvation. And they try and jump through all these gymnastic hoops to say how baptism is a good idea, because after all, it is in the Bible, but how it's not a requirement, and they try and make it complicated. Look, baptism's simple. It saves you. Done deal. But on the other hand, you can take something that is complicated and oversimplify it. You know, if you're going to shoot somebody to the moon, and I walk into the room and I go, isn't there just a red button? We just push it and light the thing off and the guy goes? That is oversimplifying the issue and somebody's going to get hurt. Modesty is one that we've oversimplified. What you wear, what clothing you choose to wear, is something that we have oversimplified, in my opinion. And I'm going to show you this morning exactly what I mean by that. The issue of clothing is not a new one. The scripture reading this morning was Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. And you looked at the man and the woman in the garden, and Adam and Eve, and they ate of the fruit. And then their eyes were open. And in verse 7 it says, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Do you realize that the issue of clothing is a consequence of sin? If there was no sin, you wouldn't be worried about what you were wearing, and this would be a very different assembly. I mean, I want you to think about that for a second, right? It is a consequence of sin. Once sin entered the world, and all of the things that go along with it, their eyes being open to lust and shallow thinking and just the care about physical things, when all of that changed, selfishness, all of that entered the world, then all of a sudden our eyes are open and they look at each other and they look at what they're not wearing and they think about God who's going to be in the garden and they don't want God to see them this way, and all of a sudden self-consciousness creeps in. I am very much looking forward to eternity when I will no longer be self-conscious. That is a struggle every day for most Christians. I think it's for most human beings. Of just, what are people thinking of me, and how am I portraying myself, and am I good enough, and all of these things, this internal dialogue that we have. What you wear is part of that. What you choose to put on in the morning is a part of that internal self-conscious dialogue. You being aware of how you look and how people will view you, how you look, all of that interaction that we have with human beings, how we will be viewed by them, how we wish to be seen, how we think that they will see us, all of this stuff that has nothing to do with spiritual things in our relationship with God, but just simply has to do with our own narcissism a lot of the time. All of that will eventually be gone. It's a consequence of sin. The only reason that you and I are worried about this sort of stuff is because we live in a world that now does care about how you look. Do you realize that before sin, nobody cared how you looked? There weren't conversations about, well, that's an ugly person and that's a beautiful person. You didn't have to worry about whether you measured up to the look of the supermodel on Vogue magazine. You just were in the image of God, and that was enough. But it is only as a consequence of sin that all of a sudden we have to deal with all of this stuff. But deal with it we must. As long as we live in a fallen world, with the consequences of sin, of both Adam and Eve's sins, and then the sins of those generations that have followed, including our own, you and I are going to have to deal with this thing. So let's deal with it. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, down in verse 5, it says, "A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God." That word abomination is kind of a doozy word in your Bible. It doesn't get used too often. It's a very strong word. It's the kind of word that God uses only for things that are a really, really big deal to Him. And here He talks about a man wearing a woman's clothing and a woman wearing a man's clothing, and He says that's an abomination to Him. Now, He says that in Deuteronomy 22 very clearly, but that is not merely an Old Testament idea. You can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and 1 Corinthians 11 talks about even hair length and how we portray ourselves in terms of male and female roles, in terms of how we cut our hair. God cares about. So it's not just an Old Testament idea, it's a New Testament idea. And I bring this one verse up to say, before we go any further with the issue of what should we wear, we have to agree to one basic premise. There is a right or a wrong answer with what you pull out of your closet. There has to be a right and a wrong in this in some area. Now, there may be more than one right outfit. Right? You could go to your closet and you may have 20 different perfectly appropriate options for what to wear. But we must agree that there is at least some choices you could make in the clothing arena that are wrong. And we live in a society that says, just wear whatever you want. Whatever you want. Or whatever you don't want to wear. But I want you to see, that's not what your Bible says. Your Bible does say that we should think about these things some. After all, Adam and Eve, they sewed those fig leaves, but in the end, God gave them clothing too. And animals had to die for that to happen. And God values life, even animal life, God values. Now, recently there was a Vogue magazine put up this picture of Bruce Jenner dressed as a woman. And quite elaborately dressed, right? There was lots of airbrushing. There was lots of surgery to get that clothing and that look as well. Can we agree that at least at some basic level, it is possible to get it wrong like he did? You know, after all, the guy reached into his closet and there's some things you could wear as a man and some things you can't. Pantyhose was a bad choice. I mean, can we agree to that basic premise? Because we have to understand that there is a right or wrong, or there's no value in having a conversation about clothing and attire at all. Because what often happens is, instead of talking about it from the standpoint of there are good choices and there are bad choices, and I understand there's a spectrum, right? There's more than one bad choice, and there's more than one good choice. But we have to understand there are bad choices. And if we don't, what we end up doing is we go, well, it's just a generational thing. You know, we always find some sort of excuse. Well, that the older generation just doesn't understand us, younger generation. Or if you, I was talking to a guy who's traveling across the country preaching right now, and he went through Portland. Poor man, never been through Portland. And he took pictures of people. And people told him, you got to understand, it's a Portland thing. I mean, you go to Portland and he goes, they're weird. I said, yeah, there's an entire campaign that says keep Portland weird. But I think a lot of times that's what we do. We make our choices and they go, well, you just don't understand because you're not me. And we make it a completely clothing such, because it is personal, right? You personally pick, well, unless you're me, I don't pick my own clothes. It'd be hilarious if I picked my own clothes. I'm colorblind and a man. It's just a horrible combination. There would be no fashion sense whatsoever. But really, many of you do pick your own clothing. So there's a personal investment in it. But it's not purely a personal thing. That God does actually say there are some things we should consider in this issue. So, in the Bible, there are three things that we should consider in clothing. There's three major areas in the clothing that we pick. Like, and once again, this morning, I want you to focus on you. I don't want you to be thinking about, boy, if you were thinking right now, I'm so glad so-and-so is hearing this sermon, you're doing it wrong. This is not about somebody else hearing this sermon. It's about each of us starting the word for me. Now, in the evening, I'm going to talk about what should our attitude be towards other people's clothing choices. But tonight we'll do that. This morning, we're going to talk about what are my attitudes and what are the principles I should think about when I pick my clothing. And there's three things that I find in the Bible. And this is where I say we oversimplify things. What we often do is we just talk about one, modesty. And I want you to see that as we go through that, one, there isn't just one issue. Modesty is not the only issue. And two, we use the word modesty wrong. We use it wrong. I've used it wrong. You probably used it wrong. I've heard other preachers use it wrong. We use a Bible word in a non-Bible way. But in fact, there are three issues. One of them, I don't know where to point this thing. There we go. Okay. One is nakedness. The other is modesty. And then the last one is one I coin as dignity or reverence or appropriateness. And as we go through, I want you to see that each of those is important. You cannot just worry about one and not worry about the others. Because as a Christian, what you wear does say something about you. I mean, whether we like it or not, right? Someday we'll get back to the garden where people don't worry about those sorts of things. Someday we'll move on to heaven and it won't matter. But until then, you live in a world where it matters. And if you don't believe me that what you wear matters, think about how you treat the hobo. It matters. It affects the way people look at you. And we can say up and down it shouldn't, but it does. You can say up and down it doesn't, but it does. So let's talk about the first one, nakedness. Now, this is the word that we really should be using instead of modesty most of the time. Most of the time when somebody says that what that person is wearing is immodest, what we really mean is they're not wearing enough. That's what we mean. They need to cover up. We live in a world where we say that's immodest clothing, and what we really mean is that's not enough clothing. You have money, go buy some extra. That's what we mean. But we use the word modesty, and if you'll bear with me, we're going to talk about nakedness first, but I will prove to you that that is an inappropriate use of the word modesty. But what it is important that people cover up. Nakedness is an issue. In the New Testament, nakedness is associated over and over and over again with a negative connotation in most circumstances. Lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Revelation 3:17, talking to the church of Laodicea, there he says, "You are a wretched one, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 3, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." The idea of nakedness and shame are intertwined. Now, obviously, there are some circumstances where nakedness is completely appropriate. After all, you go all the way back to the garden, and I find it interesting that Adam and Eve, their eyes were open, and they saw their own nakedness, and they were worried about God, but they weren't really worried about each other. They're married. And if you're uncomfortable at this point, can you imagine having to be the guy who preaches this sermon? There are circumstances where nakedness is totally appropriate, but in most cases, nakedness is not appropriate. Think about the nightmares that you have, right? I showed up at work and I forgot my pants, right? These are the sort of kind of standard, normal kind of nightmares that people have, right? We associate it with being vulnerable, being unprotected, feeling ashamed, right? And your Bible reiterates that idea. Now, in the Old Testament, it's even stronger. You see that connection in other verses. I'm not going to read every one, but Micah and Nahum and Isaiah all connect nakedness and shame. Leviticus 18:20 talks about uncovering nakedness. And it talks about relations between two people and relationships that are not meant to happen. And things like incest. And he says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of so-and-so. And what he's doing is, in Leviticus, God uses the phrase uncovering somebody's nakedness as a colloquial phrase to refer to intimate relationships that should only be between a husband and a wife. And so there is that connection there. Where does nakedness belong? In that arena, but not in any other. Or then Genesis chapter 9, you have Noah. Noah made a bad decision. He got drunk. He was naked. He had one son that came and saw his father, and two other sons, in order to protect their father's shame, they took a blanket and they walked backwards, not willing to look at his nakedness, and covered him up. The biblical picture is that nakedness should be covered in almost all circumstances except in the marital realm. That's the biblical picture. And so when we talk about the idea of immodesty, what we're normally talking about is this. Is the idea that there are certain parts of your body that are for marriage. They're for that realm. Nowhere else. They're not to be flaunted publicly. They're not to be shown off to get attention. Or for shock value. It is something for the realm of a husband and a wife. And to be saved for that. And it's beautiful and perfect and wonderful in that realm. And the other realm, it is inappropriate and shameful. And so when we talk about people and how we dress, one of the things that all of us need to think about is, am I dressing in such a way that covers my nakedness? Or am I trying to reveal as much as I can while still being socially appropriate? Because if that's your technique, guess what socially appropriate is becoming? More and more and more skin. Right? Just give it time. Give it enough time and what's socially appropriate will be nakedness. If you don't believe me, in European countries, there are commercials with full nudity all the time. Now, that's not common here in America yet, but it's totally socially appropriate and normal in European countries. It's not a big deal there. So if our standard is, I'll do whatever society allows me to get away with so that I can get attention through my nakedness and uncovering, you will find yourself always thinking backwards about it. Instead of thinking of saving that for the marital realm, you will think of yourself as somebody uncovering that to get attention. Women do this, men do this. Now, let's talk about that next issue of modesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 9, is the verse on modesty. The verse. And I don't mean it like it's the best one. I mean it's the one. Now, every other time the word modesty is used in your New Testament, it actually refers to character, not apparel. You talk about somebody who has a modest attitude. And what we mean by that is they're humble. They're not showy and, hey, look at me, I'm so great. But here, that word modest shows up in regard to your attire, your clothing. One and only. So, if we're going to use the word modest to refer to the clothing we wear, let's use it in a Bible way. And God's made it really easy for us to use it in a Bible way. You only got to go to one place. You don't have to search for 20 different verses. You got one. Now look at this for a second. Let's read it. In like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment. I want you to think about that for a second and realize that modesty is not nakedness in this case, in any way, shape, or form, because in this case, what are the women told to do? Wear less. You realize that's what he's telling them? Stop it with the braided hair and the gold and the pearls and the costly clothing. You women are wearing too much. To put it in a common phrase today, there's way too much bling going on there. That's what he's saying. You got too many bangles and spangles and accessories and all these different things that women wear. Men don't accessorize. Women do. It's not typical for men to accessorize and really focus on kind of adding as much glitter and shine as we can to ourselves. It does happen, but it is not common. And so here, God, in His wisdom, addresses the gender that is most likely to abuse modesty, which is female. Doesn't mean it doesn't apply to men. But I want you to see that in here, what he's saying is you should be known for your character and not as you walk in the room, people go, wow. Not for your looks. Now, here's an interesting problem we run into is there are many women within the Lord's body who are very good at covering nakedness, but they go, you can't see any skin, but they still have the attitude and disposition of, let me dress in such a way to really get as much attention, typically from the opposite gender, as I can. I'm not going to dress in a way that uncovers my nakedness, but I am going to focus on the accessorizing, you might say. Now, this is not just a female problem. Like I said, women certainly run into it, and there's a reason Paul told Timothy to talk to women about it, but I want you to look also in your New Testament in Luke chapter 20, down in verse 46. Jesus said, beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes. I want you to just pause there for a second and think about what he just said. Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes. And then he goes on to say, and they wear phylacteries. They're these things on their heads that contain Bible verses. It was like a little box. Orthodox Jews in and around Israel still do this. They'll put a box and then they put little bits of paper with verses, scripture, in the box. Stick it to their head. It's like the worst headband ever. And they walk around with long robes. Are they naked? No. Long robe, right? But what's the problem? They wear the long robes to be seen by men. It's immodest. It's no different than the women of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's the same problem. I want to be known as a super religious person. Now, give you kind of a funny example of this. there's a preacher that I know, and no, I'm not going to tell you who he is. There's a preacher I know that if you go camping, you will see him in a suit. Because that's what preachers wear, you know, suits. And so you go camping and he'll sit down to the campfire. He'll show up in a suit. Because, you know, he wants to look the part. Folks, that's long robes. You know, when preachers get to the point where they can't wear a t-shirt and jeans and play volleyball like the rest of them, you know, show us the door. Our heads have gotten too big. The fact of the matter is that men can do it too. And it's whenever we get to the point where we become so fixated on our clothing that we use it as our way of showing people what we want them to see, either to gender, to get the other gender to show us appreciation and adoration, or maybe we wear it so that people will think of us as greater than them. Oh, look at that guy. He's so religious. He even has Bible on his head. I mean, it doesn't work in our culture, right? But it did back then. See a guy walking with a box around his forehead and he said, man, look at him. As Christians, we shouldn't be known for that. It's one of the reasons that I personally am not a big fan of Christians wearing crosses. There's two reasons I'm not a big fan of it. One of them is this modesty issue, because to me, if I've got to wear a cross for you to know that I'm a Christian, there may be a problem. And the other is, imagine Jesus had died in an electric chair. Would you hang one of those around your neck? It's sick. But in both cases, I look at it and there are certain things that we can do where it's like, see me, I'm religious. And I've never been a major fan of that. And this is why, because I think that's immodest. I think if you have a car and all over your car, now I'm giving you application, but you've got to look at it yourself, right? So I'm not going out to the parking lot and checking all your bumper stickers. But if you run into somebody who has a car and they've got 15, what would Jesus do? Fishes all over the place? Fishes. There's no such thing as fishes. All of them all over the back of his car. To me, that's immodest. That's long robes and phylacteries. Look at me. I drive a righteous Buick. So we have these two concepts. Christians should be aware of, am I covering up enough? But then also we should be aware, are we sending this message in everything we do that look at me, look at me, look at me? And you can do that by putting more clothing on. Long robes. The gold, the braided hair, the costly raiment. And by the way, this is not saying you can't braid your hair. It's not saying you can't wear a gold wedding ring or pearls or something. But it's the overall effect, right? In the same way that Jesus, when he says, beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes, we don't go, never wear a long robe. It's an overall effect. And we all have to think about that overall effect of, am I saying, look at me with my clothing? Or am I saying, I'm here for Christ with my character, so that what you look at me for is something that has nothing to do with that first appearance, but everything to do with the kind of light that I let my character and life shine out every day, so that that's what impresses people. The last one, and I term in here dignity, and the reason I struggle with this one, with a word for it, is I can't find anywhere in the Bible that there's a specific word for it, but it's something that is talked about clearly in the Bible in multiple places. So you can call it dignity. You could compare it to what, like Hebrews chapter 12, down to verse 28 says, that we should approach God with reverence and awe. That idea of appropriateness of dress. There's several applications in your Bible that talk about there's a time where dressing nicer is a statement of respect. In the same way that you can overdress in many circumstances, right? Go camping with your three-piece suit is a little overdressed. So too, you can underdress and be too casual in circumstances and show a lack of respect. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 21 through 22 is an interesting one to me. Here is this worthy woman of Proverbs 31. And it talks about her, what a godly and righteous woman she is. And then it makes all these statements about the things that she does that shows she's such a worthy woman. And one of them, it says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Do you notice there? She's not worried about the snow, and then it lists not just that she has warm clothing for her family, but it's nicer clothing. A phrase that was used when I was a little kid was clean cut. Look at that guy over there. He looks clean cut. That's the way my dad would always tell us. He said, see that kid? He's clean cut, not like you. There's this idea of somebody dressing in a way that shows dignity. A lot of people are very fond of my zoo stories, of which I have not had any today. All of those zoo stories happened because of a tie. Because I went to an interview, and the guy talked with me, and I don't remember the questions that he asked. I don't remember any of it, because in the end, he told me none of that mattered. He said, I decided to give you the job right away, because when you walked in the door, even though you were young, you wore a tie, which is a really great thing, because a whole bunch of people had told me to wear a tie. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. So it was basically by accident that I wore that tie. But I walked in the door, and what he saw was, this guy's going to take it seriously. And really, if you read literature on how to do job interviews, and they coach you on how to do job interviews, they'll tell you to dress in a way that will show respect for the job. When you see somebody walk in and their kids are, you know, they walk in and the kids all have their hair combed and they're all wearing nice clothes, and nice is a relative term, right? We're not saying, you know, you had to go and buy it on Rodeo Drive. But, you know, you can tell that mom and dad tried to dress the kids neatly to the best they could with what budget they had, and all the kids kind of come in like a bunch of ducklings. You look at that and you go, what a nice family. You know, I mean, this is what we do naturally, right? Now, here is this worthy woman, and what has she done for her family? She's allowed them to dress in a dignified way. And then it'll later on go to talk about how her husband sits in the gate. I love how she gets credit for that. Her husband sits in the gate. He is one of the rulers of the city, one of the great learned elders of the city, sitting there in the gate making the great, vast political decisions for the city. And they go, that's because of his wife. And that's God who says that. She helped his reputation. She helps her kids' reputation and how they dress. Now, could you overdress? Of course you could. But Christianity, like I started this sermon, I want you to use your brain. It would be so much easier if I could just come up here and I could give you a list of 10 rules. Skirts must be X amount of inches long. In this circumstance, you must wear slacks, and this one, you must wear jeans. That would be easier, but it wouldn't require you to think. Instead, God wants you to think about it. You can overdress, you can underdress. Think about the high priest. And I'm not going to go and read about all of the high priest's garments, because we could take chapters and chapters that discuss what the high priest and the other priests would wear. And you know, they're fancy. They're fancy clothes. Now, you can overdo that. You can get too focused on the nitty-gritty details, and I've seen people who've used the high priest garments as a way to legalize certain dress codes. Forget about that. That's not what I'm here to do. What I want you to see is, when God designed the clothing for the high priests, did he dress them like hobos? Or when they were going to go into the Holy of Holies, did he dress them nice? I don't think Aaron went home and wore the high priest garments all day long. But when he was going to go before God, you put on the robes and the bells, they tinkle at the bottom. And as you walk, he can be heard. And he said, do it because the position you're in requires it. Now, as Christians, when we do things that are important to us, that require dignity and reverence, our dress should reflect that. I'm not saying you got to wear a suit every Sunday. I'm not saying you have to dress as nice as the next guy or even compare yourself to everybody else. But when you go to pick clothing, to spend time with God's people, and to be there where God says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am, and to worship with reverence and awe, think about what you pull out of the closet. That's all I'm saying. Because Aaron did. And God told Aaron, I want you to. Can you imagine if Aaron walked in with t-shirt and jeans into the Holy of Holies? It would not have ended well. Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. In the story of the wedding feast, and the king, he has this great wedding feast, and he invites all these people, and they all make different excuses why they weren't going to come. And so he then says, go out into the highways, go out into the hedges, invite, compel, bring all of these people in. And so you go through that whole story, and he brings all of these people in. And as was the custom in Eastern cultures in that day, whoever had the feast would provide wedding garments for everybody. Nice clothing for you to wear, which worked out really well for all these people coming in from the highways and the hedges, I'm sure. Because I'm sure that they did not have the finest attire naturally. But the king was providing all of these things, at least that's what was normal in Eastern culture. And then he looks over, and at the wedding feast, there's one guy, and he's not wearing the wedding garments. And the king becomes infuriated and kicks the man out, because he'd not shown enough dignity, reverence, appreciation, respect, whatever word you want to choose, for the occasion. Right? And we do this with weddings ourselves, right? We have weddings and people don't even buy clothes for everybody. Can you imagine that? I still think that that would be hilarious. You know, somebody has a wedding and they say, and by the way, here's your clothes. Well, that was Eastern culture. But even in Western culture, you have a wedding, you dress appropriately, right? You think a little bit more about what you're going to wear when you're going to go to a big deal like that. And then the last verse that I use to talk about the idea of dignity is Exodus chapter 3. Moses, out in the wilderness, and sees the burning bush. And it's burning but not burning up. And so Moses goes up to the bush to see what's going on, and a voice speaks from the bush and says, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Now this is not as normal in American culture, but this totally makes sense to somebody from Eastern culture. If you go to places like Japan or China or something like that, you're going to go into somebody's house, guess what they're going to ask you to do? Every time you're gonna take your shoes off. You're gonna take your shoes off because it's a sign of respect in that culture. You're gonna go into their house. Now here's God. God speaks to Moses, and he says, Moses, you're gonna be talking with me. You're gonna be talking with me, so I want you to take your sandals off because where you're about to trod is holy ground. Now, what that tells you is just one very small thing. It's not a big thing. I don't want you to make more out of it than you ought to. Don't want you to show up next Sunday and say, Scott said we can't put anything on our feet. That's not what I said. But it teaches one simple principle. God recognizes that the way you wear your clothing can show respect or disrespect. Moses, show me respect. Take your sandals off. You would if you went into somebody's house. You're going to speak with me. You're on holy ground. Take your sandals off. God recognizes that attire has an impact upon presentation. So if it's not just a man-made thing anymore, so we can't just say, well, that's a culture thing. Well, yeah, cultures do change. That's true. Men and societies, they alter how they show respect over the ages. I'm very thankful that I don't live in a culture where, like, the respectful way for men to dress was to wear those funny white wigs. I'm very thankful that that's not the culture I'm in. But there was a time where that was, you know, you're going to go into Parliament. Put on your powdered wig, men. I'm glad I don't live in that society, but I do have to recognize that societies will always have those sorts of statements about what is showing dignity, what is showing respect for the occasion. And God recognizes that too. And so, God, we don't have the out of saying, well, forget about it. That's a man thing, and God doesn't care about it. Actually, God references it here in Exodus chapter 3. So when you talk about what you're going to wear, you go to your closet, and you're going to pick out whatever clothes you wear, you're going to have to think. You need to think about three things. Nakedness, is it covering up enough? You're going to have to think about modesty. Is it too showy? I'll tell you just one real quick story on the idea of modesty. There's a preacher that I know from the East Coast, and they had a young woman. She was converted. And a lot of people were talking to her about how she was immodestly dressed. And they talked with her every Sunday. And they used it to refer to nakedness. They were using the term wrong. And saying, you're immodestly dressed because she was showing too much skin. And it sounds like, from what this preacher told me, that people were not very nice about it. And we'll talk about that this evening, about how we should talk with each other about clothing and how we should, our attitude should be towards others' clothing. But they were kind of riding her on this issue all the time. So one Sunday she said, that's it, I've had enough. This young, immature Christian had enough. She bought a burqa, no joke. Bought a burqa, full thing, head covering and everything, the whole hood and just the eye slit, walked into services. And she told him, she said, nobody can say anything today. And the preacher's wife went up to her and she said, I love you. I understand you're upset. But I got to tell you, what you're wearing today is the most immodest thing you've ever worn. And she was 100% right. You have to consider not just nakedness, but you also have to consider, am I showy? Am I here? Look at me. I'm wearing a burqa. And then you also must consider the dignity of the occasion for which you're dressing. There's a difference between going camping and going to services. There's a difference between meeting with the president and going shopping. These are all different things, and we should consider all of these things. And there's biblical precedent for us considering each of these things as well. And so tonight, we talked this morning about what are our attitudes towards our own clothing, and tonight, what should my attitude be toward other people's clothing? What should my attitude be when I see somebody wearing something that I would not have chosen? Because you will run into that your whole life. Your wardrobe is not the same as everybody else's. So what do you do when somebody walks in and they made a different call than you? The Bible answers that question as well. It's a separate question, but also a very important one. I thank you so very much for bearing with me on what I know is oftentimes a very personal and difficult subject. If you want to stone me, I'll be out there later. But if you want to obey the gospel, if you are ready to do what it takes to become a Christian, don't wait till later. If you know what it takes and you're ready to be baptized, don't wait. And if you're a Christian who needs to turn back to the Lord, we provide this opportunity to you as well as we stand and sing number 730.